Are you a veteran, police officer, firefighter, doctor, nurse, or teacher? If so, you qualify as one of Ron Siegel's VIP heroes, and we have rewards up to $5,000 or $10,000 when you buy, sell, or refinance a home with one of the Ron Siegel Radio partners. As one of the heroes, real estate agents will rebate part of their commission, lending partners will give a credit at closing, the title company has special published rates, and many other service providers have incentives too. All you need to do is call Ron Siegel Radio at 1-800-306-1990. That's 1-800-306-1990, or visit VIPHeroProgram.com. Just think about what you will do with all the rebates and incentives from the partners of Ron Siegel Radio. Just call us at 800-306-1990 so we can show you our appreciation for your service.
Are you earning a safe, secure 10-plus percent return on your investments? Is your credit score over 800? Are you living in the home of your dreams or simply where you think you can afford? If the answer to any of these questions is no, what are you doing about it? Text ATP to 79564. Complete a 3-minute complimentary survey and the area trusted professionals of Ron Siegel Radio will reach out to you to develop a success strategy for you. Again, all you need to do is text ATP to 79564.
Are you currently renting a home? Do you like paying someone else's mortgage payment? Why not explore the options to purchase your own home? Can you imagine a 30-year fixed-rate loan below 4.25% APR? This means with $10,500, you can purchase a $295,000 home and have a principal and interest payment of about $1,400 per month. What are you paying in rent? Does your family deserve the opportunity to take advantage of the current market? To learn more about these exciting opportunities, the Siegel Lending Team is standing by to speak with you. Call now, 1-800-306-1990. That's 1-800-306-1990. Or visit SiegelLendingTeam.com. That's SIEGELLendingTeam.com or 1-800-306-1990. Rates subject to change without notice. Licensed by NMLS ID 217037 and 145502. Equal housing lender. Not endorsed or sponsored by any government agency.
Is your credit score over 800? Are you living in the home of your dreams or simply where you think you can afford? Are you earning a safe, secure 10-plus percent return on your investments? If the answer to any of these questions is no, what are you doing about it? Text ATP to 79564, complete a 3-minute complimentary survey, and the area-trusted professionals of Ron Siegel Radio will reach out to you to develop a success strategy for you. Again, all you need to do is text ATP to 79564.
Do you have a goal of mortgage-free home ownership? What if your home was valued at $500,000? Are you aware that a free and clear home could be costing you $2,500 every month, $30,000 per year? The mortgage planners at the Siegel Lending Team would like to show you how you can own your home, generate tax-free income, and accumulate family wealth. You simply need to call the Ron Siegel Team at 1-800-306-1990. That is 1-800-306-1990. By sending the team a copy of your most recent mortgage statement, the team will send you a no-obligation real estate plan. You be the judge if this is right for your family. Again, all you have to do is send the team a copy of your mortgage statement by email to REAP at ronsiegelradio.com or call today, Ron Siegel, 1-800-306-1990. That is 1-800-306-1990.
Rate subject to change and without notice. Licensed by the California DOC and DRENMLS 217037 and 145. 502 and Cal BRE 01869452 and 1-866-775.
You're listening to Ron Siegel's Home and Finance Radio Show, only on Financial News and Talk. Now live in studio, your host, local and national real estate expert and consumer advocate, Ron Siegel.
And hello again. Welcome to Ron Siegel Radio. This is the show with no real boundaries as we discuss current events, financial markets, politics, sports, even poking fun at the rest of the media. This is the show that connects the dots of confusion delivered by conflicting media reports. We connect the dots so you know the actions you can take, how your family or business can benefit from current events. Most of all, thank you for joining me. Before we get into our intriguing content today, please join me in welcoming our featured guest, Anaheim Fire and Rescue Chief Randy Brugman is with us. Welcome.
Morning, Ron. How are you?
Wonderful. Glad to have you with us.
Great to be here.
Let me remind you, if you ever have any home or finance-related questions, I am the consumer advocate looking out for you. And you can reach out to me directly, 800-306-1990. 800-306-1990 or ronsiegelradio.com. Just remember, that's the number you call anytime for assistance. When you call that number, it comes directly to me first. There are no operators standing by. I am it.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
While I do have a great team when it comes to developing a financing plan or plan to save you money, I personally work with you. Even if you don't have any needs today, save this number in your phone for future reference. 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. And, of course, we are celebrating today. We celebrate every day. And how can you go wrong in the great country that we're in? You got to have a celebration, something to look forward to every single day. So I share them with you right here on Ron Siegel Radio. So there was quite a few of items on the agenda today to celebrate, and I looked at them. Some of them were more intriguing than others. I don't know about this one. National Clean Out Your Refrigerator Day. National Raisin Bran Day. Now, if you're not regular, you might like that one. Let's get rid of that. America Recycles Day. We can deal with that. Spicy Hermit Cookie Day, though. We'll stick with that one. Now, having been anorexia, I can always go with a good cookie. And no, it's not jalapenos or anything like that. I'm not into that stuff. But cinnamon, cloves, allspice, nutmeg, raisins, nuts, dates. I guess I better get back on with the broadcast, though, because I could get carried away there. Checking the markets for you this morning. What are the markets doing? The S&P 500 down a little bit right now. 14.51. It's at 25.64. The U.S. 10-year Treasury. Down about 3 basis points, not meaning a whole heck of a lot there. And the mortgage-backed securities, we'll report on those numbers tomorrow, but the mortgage-backed securities, when the mortgage-backed securities go up, that means interest rates for your home, they are going down. So that is a little bit of good news, but it's so small, really doesn't make a whole lot of difference there. So we'll just go with the ho-hum. Checking what else is going on in the markets. Retail sales rose 0.2% from September, above the consensus of 0.1. So that means it doubled. That's a big benefit right there. You get rid of the auto and retail. The retail sales up 0.1 below the consensus. CPI was up a little bit. That's boring there as well. The Empire State Regional Manufacturing Index fell to 19.4, way down. What does all that mean? Well, it means we've got mixed economics. We have mixed economics. That tells us we're going to have to watch out and see what the Federal Reserve is going to do to us or for us. We'll figure that out. But they're talking about raising rates again next month. So, and we're only a few weeks away from that. They're talking about raising rates 3 times next year. Generally, the Federal Reserve does way too much. So that's not a benefit. They almost always overshoot what their targets are. So we'll keep an eye on them and see where those markets move as well. Back in the news, I don't think they want to be back in the news, but Wells Fargo is back in the news once again, failing to report money laundering schemes. How long is it going to take for Wells Fargo to realize that people are watching? They're a player. And I can share with you, leading a lending team here in Southern California, we're always being taught, we're always being educated on money laundering, where people are doing it, how they're doing it. And, you know, I don't know the total net worth of the company that I work with or the team that I work with, but I can tell you this with good certainty, it's less than Wells Fargo. Don't know how much less, but I'm sure it's less than Wells Fargo. They should have a better system for watching money laundering activities. But I guess they'll figure it out eventually when the fines get big enough. Think about this. You look at some of the numbers, and I'm looking here in one of the areas, a civil penalty of $3.5 million. Now, for a company the size of Wells Fargo, $3.5 million, that might be what you and I would consider Starbucks money. So is that going to really stop them from going and doing? Is that the deterrent that we really want to see? Now, here's the numbers we want like to see. And you're not going to see this in the mainstream media. President Trump's China visit, $250 billion in U.S. business deals. Now, I know a lot of these deals were probably already well in the works, and he's coming back patting himself on the back. But you did see what happened in some instances I forgot the person's name several years ago when he went to North Korea and came back as a vegetable. Well, we saw from UCLA, those basketball players are probably happy that the president made a phone call or took initiative while he was there. Now, in our country, shoplifting, bad, but it's not going to put you in jail for a hard time in most instances. You go to a communist country and they can do what they want. Those young people could have been in jail for years for stealing and shoplifting in China, and no due process there. Think about that. But Boeing, we're looking at $37 billion. General Electric, $3.5 billion. Goldman Sachs, big money. West Virginia has got a China Energy Investment Corp, $83.7 billion in shale gas. Alaskan Liquefied Natural Gas, $43 billion. Soybeans, $5 billion. You getting the hint here? I guess the president was not there just on a vacation. And I've shared with you, I used to go to overseas. Working 12 days overseas, coming back home and going right to work the next day, that is not an easy trip for anybody, no less somebody that's in their 70s. Just saying. Moving right along. Terror in Northern California once again. You got to wonder about our society right now. And I have this debate many, many times with many people. When are we going to get smart? The guns are not going to ever get off the streets. You have the last report I saw, 500 million guns in our country. They are not going to go anywhere anytime soon. But what can we do? How can we help people? You look at this individual in Northern California, and thank goodness the schools are trained. And we're going to talk with the chief here in a little bit about the school training. But thank goodness the school up there was trained, that they got wind that there was going to be, that there was a shooter in the area. They went, the elementary school went on lockdown, and even on lockdown, some of the kids were injured. But you think about that, if they were not trained there, think about how much worse this could have been. But the gunman's family knew that he had mental illness. They knew that they'd asked for help, and they couldn't get the help that they needed. When are we going to go back and say, you know something, I understand the ACLU, I understand their situation where they're looking out for people that they think they are, they claim they are. But you know something, sometimes individuals like this, the help they need is not to be released. The help they need is to be put into a facility where they're getting the medical care and treatment that they need long term, and the rest of society is safe. Think about that concept. I mean, there was another one I saw last night. That might have been early this morning. Man walks out of a mental institution because there's no guards in Hawaii. Now, I don't know how he got so much money. Charters a plane from one island to the next, gets on another plane in Maui, one to San Francisco or San Jose, and he's on the loose right now. He's a manhunt. Mental illness. We need to look at how do we help these people instead of saying, we got to get rid of the guns. Well, it's like saying, let's get rid of Band-Aids because people cut themselves. Does that make any sense? Think about that concept. Let's help people instead of trying to come up with some crazy scenario that's not going to do anything ever to help anybody. Just I get off my soapbox. Being that it is the holiday time, let's switch gears just a little bit because I did see this and – you know, Chief Anaheim Fire and Rescue is here. We might have to get the guys aware of these things because hopefully they don't see this too much. But we have got the 10 worst toys for this year. The list just came out. I don't know if you ever use those little spinner things that are on your hand. That's one of the 10 worst toys this year. So they've got this whole list that they put out. Holiday time, if you want the full list. I mean, it's a pretty amazing when you think about a Wonder Woman battle action sword is on one of the 10 worst lists. Let's see what else we've got on here that I can find real quick. That's kind of boring. A xylophone? How could a toy oval xylophone is on the watch list this year? Itty Bitty's baby plush stacking toy by Hallmark. Now, you got to be careful of those Hallmark toys, stuffed toys. It's going to really hurt somebody big time. Pull Along Pony by Tolo Toys. That's another big one. Spider-Man, Spider Drone, Official Movie Edition by Marvel. Nerf, Zombie Strike, Dreadbolt Crossbow. These are the items that are on the 10 worst list. So if you want the whole list, Give us a call, 800-306-1990. We'll give that list to you. Discussing your real estate current events and the financial markets. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Chief Brigman about the fires here in Southern California. There might be some items on the horizon. Maybe we prevent some of these things. We'll bring back, what was it, the bear that used to be out there? Smokey, right? Smokey Bear used to be out there. Maybe we'll bring him back and see if we can deal with that. Feeling stuck in place, you aren't alone. There is hope in the real estate market. 1 in 5 American households have zero or negative wealth. And 5 ways to save on healthcare. All that and more. You can reach us anytime. Off-air number, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us, facebook.com/ronsiegelradio, on Twitter at Ron Siegel. And if you miss any part of our broadcast, shame on you. But the replay is available, Ron Siegel 1, Ron Siegel, the numeral 1, on YouTube. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few.
Are you earning a safe, secure 10%+ return on your investments? Is your credit score over 800? Are you living in the home of your dreams or simply where you think you can afford? If the answer to any of these questions is no, what are you doing about it? Text ATP to 79564. Complete a 3-minute complimentary survey and the area trusted professionals of Ron Siegel Radio will reach out to you to develop a success strategy for you. Again, all you need to do is text ATP to 79564.
Did you know that banks and credit bureaus are rewarded financially if you have bad credit? And the worse your credit score is, the more money they can make off of you? How does that make you feel, knowing that banks are getting rich off of your hard-earned money? How does it make you feel, knowing that if a bank or a credit bureau makes a mistake on your credit report, they benefit from it and it hurts you? The Fair Credit Report Act of 1971 requires banks and credit bureaus to report only accurate information, and nearly 100% of all credit reports are inaccurate. If you're sick and tired of being broke and tired of being robbed by the banks, you owe it to yourself and to your family to call Rondi. Rondi is a FICO-certified credit professional and has helped thousands of people just like you get out of debt and establish great credit. Rondi's number is 855-608-1990. Again, that's 855-608-1990. Or visit creditsanitizer.com. Again, that website is creditsanitizer.com.
Are you a veteran, own a home, and need money? The Siegel Lending Team is here to help veterans refinance and get the money they need. The VA 100 lets you borrow up to 100% of your home's value, refinance your mortgages, consolidate credit cards, and lower your payments by an average of $700 a month. And the Siegel Lending Team knows that character means more than a credit score. Call 800-306-1990. That's 800-306-1990. Rate exchange without notice, licensed by the California Department of Corporations, NMLS 21037, and DRE number 01869452.
Are you a veteran, police officer, firefighter, doctor, nurse, or teacher? If so, you qualify as one of Ron Siegel's VIP heroes, and we have rewards up to $5,000 or $10,000 when you buy, sell, or refinance a home with one of the Ron Siegel Radio partners. As one of the heroes, real estate agents will rebate part of their commission, lending partners will give a credit at closing, the title company has special published rates, and many other service providers have incentives too. All you need to do is call Ron Siegel Radio at 1-800-306-1990. That's 1-800-306-1990, or visit VIPHeroProgram.com. Just think about what you will do with all the rebates and incentives from the partners of Ron Siegel Radio. Just call us at 800-306-1990 so we can show you our appreciation for your service.
You're listening to Ron Siegel's Home and Finance Show with local and national expert Ron Siegel. Now, here's Ron.
Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That's my message, and as your consumer advocate, I will be delivering it every day on Ron Siegel Radio or anytime at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. The real-time real estate segment today being brought to you by the area trusted real estate professionals of Ron Siegel Radio. Text NEST, N-E-S-T, to 79564. Find your dream home before someone else does. Real estate. You're feeling stuck in place? You aren't alone, and there is hope. Whether you're a renter who is searching for your dream home or a homeowner who feels like your only option is to renovate, at least one thing in common, feeling the time that a family stays in their home remains 10 years in 2017. This mark is the highest mark set in 2018 and 16. Back in 1985, when data was first collected on this subject, homeowners stayed in their homes for an average of only 5 years. If you want all the whole report, I shared it on the social media channels today. Don't want to go into the whole thing because I want to spend as much time as possible with the chief here, Randy Brugman, Chief Anaheim Fire and Rescue. But that's the real-time real estate segment. Welcome, Chief.
Hi, Ron. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm glad that you're able to come in and share with us. And I know that there's a lot of folks want to get in on some recap from you.
Okay. Well, you know, we've had a busy couple months here in Anaheim with the two canyon fires. So
boredom would probably be nice.
Yes, it would be.
So tell us a little. I mean, there's so many rumors going around as far as, you know, the cause of the first fire, the cause of the second fire, the dispatch, whether there was an error in dispatching or not dispatching. So first fire.
First fire, Canyon Fire number one.
Okay.
Started on September 25th, a little after one in the afternoon. And that fire eventually grew to about 2,600 acres. And ultimately, we had almost 1,600 personnel on scene within the first 24 hours. We ended up having 272 engines of different types here. We had 500 homes evacuated in the city of Corona. We had 9 air tankers, 10 water tenders, and 30 hand crews. So we amassed a pretty significant resource base quickly. That fire was started from a flare that was dropped from a work truck that from Caltrans. And somebody ran over the flare, shot into the brush, and unfortunately the wind was blowing that day, and you know the rest. So
let me ask you a question, just from a personal standpoint. I see those flares out on the road every once in a while, and you look at them, you say, is it dangerous for a car to drive over it? I mean, you don't want to hit it with your tire, obviously, but...
Yeah, you're usually going fast enough. If you do run it over, it's not going to do any damage to your tire. But unfortunately, in this situation, it caught the brush, and the wind blowing that caused.
Wow. Okay. So we got
they were damaged in Corona, but they did an excellent job in protecting the.
Well, I guess I'll save my question for you. Let's cap on the first, on the second one.
Started October 9th. We probably and it was called some type of a fire, and CHP actually dispatched an officer to that location, and the officer did not see anything. We actually met that gentleman subsequently, and he pointed out where he saw the fire at the time that he went by was not where we had the fire originated. About 45 minutes to 50 minutes later.
Okay, so the legitimate originate, so there may have been something there, but CHP couldn't find it. Yeah, which kind of dispels a little of what we heard that nobody ever went and looked for it. They just looked out the front door.
That's correct. No, they actually, CHP dispatched an officer on the first call at 8:32, I think it was. And I'm sure the gentleman did see something on fire, but as you know, the wind came up extremely hard that day. I mean, we had 45 to 50 mile an hour winds along the surface roadway, and I know it was 60 to 70 miles an hour up on top of the ridgeline. So it could have just burned itself out by the time the CHP officer got there. The second fire originated from a rekindle from the first fire. We found during our investigation that there was embedded embers in a small oak bush up on the side of the hill that was in a blacked out area. But when the wind came up, it hit it just right. It almost created like a furnace effect and it started blowing embers about, it would have had to blow embers about 60 feet into unburned territory, unburned vegetation, and that's what started the second fire. We believe that probably happened around 9:15, 9:20, and there was somewhat of about a 15-minute delay in launching full response, but we're waiting for the final determination on that because Orange County Fire is conducting an external investigation of that, and we're supporting that effort as well. So that incident ended up growing to about 9,200 acres. We had over 1,600 firefighters. We had 3,500 structures that were threatened, not only in Anaheim, but in Orange and Tustin, and in some areas of Orange County. We had 255 engines on this fire, 36 hand crews. We had 21 aerial resources, including a DC-10, six dozers. And so, again, we amassed a pretty significant amount of resources rather quickly. We sat on this fire. We worked this fire much longer than the first one just because of the extent that it had burned.
That's pretty fascinating when you look at how much equipment was amassed. I spoke to a fire individual and a retired firefighter, and he said he had never seen that amount of equipment amassed that quick. You really got a lot of equipment coming in, yet some of our local people were deployed elsewhere.
Yeah, we had a few people out on overhead teams that were on overhead positions that were up in Napa and some of the other fires that were going on at the time. We had actually held our resources here locally just because of the wind pattern, and many of the other agencies throughout Orange County had done so as well. But, we're very fortunate in the state of California with the state master mutual aid system that has been developed over the last 30 years. We have the ability to bring in resources from all over the state in a very unified system that is it's complex, but it actually provides for some very robust resources.
That's amazing how we kind of work together in areas like that and still have the resources going up to help others. Because, when you think 200, does Anaheim have 255 trucks?
No, we don't have 255 firefighters.
Okay, so you look at that and you start saying, holy cow, that's a lot of equipment.
Yeah.
And bringing in that many people that fast, that's just amazing.
Yeah, we're really blessed to be able to have that resource depth throughout the state. And especially if you look at Orange County, San Diego, and Los Angeles County, the number of stations that are deployed throughout those three counties, and Riverside as well, we have significant resource base in Southern California.
We tend to need it.
We do.
Right? There's a lot going on. So just from being that I do some financial every once in a while on the broadcast, how do events like this affect budget dollars? Obviously you got to use what you have to save the community.
Correct.
But you got to write the check, right? It's not like the federal government where you just print more money.
That's an excellent question. Under the state master mutual aid, these pieces of equipment, other than the first 12 hours, rest with basically the state. The state funds that. We fund that through our taxes and through the state budget. But we were fortunate in the Canyon 2 fire that it was declared a state and federal emergency. So that opens up the door to federal additional funding. And so we're amassing all of the financial information so that we can submit through that process as well. So this probably did cost us several hundred thousand dollars, but the reality was that this fire was probably in the $13 to $15 million range for the deployment. And so if it were not for the state master mutual aid, the federal declaration, and also we have contracts with Cal Fire and the U.S. Forest Service that minimize the charges that we get from them, because it's like our insurance policy. We have shared resource contracts with them. So that helps as well. We put those in place about 6 years ago.
Fascinating. Okay, I got a little bit of technical problem on the Facebook feed, We're going to come back in just a minute with Chief Brugman. You're listening to Ron Siegel Radio, discussing your real estate current events and the financial markets. Got a lot more to cover. We're going to talk about the wind patterns. How do they predict where the fires are going to go? That's going to be a big one. I mean, it seems pretty amazing when you can move kids from one area to another area. It seems to the layman like it might be right in the path, but it wasn't. So we're going to talk more with the chief when we come back. You're listening to Ron Siegel Radio, discussing your real estate current events and the financial markets. Back in just a few. Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That's my message. And as your consumer advocate, I will be delivering it every day on Ron Siegel Radio or anytime at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. Love this live broadcast. It gets you all the time. Fun stuff. So we're going to continue. We're going to throw out some of our other goodies so we can continue our conversation with Anaheim Fire and Rescue Chief Randy Brugman. So one of the things that I was listening in one of the after at the big meeting that you had with the community was that you really had a good idea of where the fire was going. So I look at the first fire and it went to Corona, and there's really no evacuations for the Orange County area. Second fire, you know, they have it at Anaheim Hills Elementary, and one of the evacuation points was 2 miles away at Canyon High School. Mm-hmm. You knew exactly where it was going to go.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've had some history in the canyon about where the fire tracks once it jumps to 241. So we've got probably 6 or 8 different tracks that it'll take depending upon where it starts and where how the wind's blowing and how hard the wind is blowing. So we had a pretty good idea exactly where it was going to run that day. And that helps us. I mean, we pre-plan not only where we're going to position our suppression units, but we also then pre-plan by zones what the evacuation and how we will evacuate from that area if we need to.
So one of the things that I noticed in the post-event, the aftermath, or listened to, was, you know, they were talking about a combination. The traffic was horrendous. So it's got to be, I would assume, a heck of a balance trying to figure out getting the cars out during the evacuation, but making it safe for equipment to get in.
Yeah, we did an after action debrief citywide, which we're still working on, and we probably identified, I would imagine, 100 improvement opportunities from both events, and one of those was just our evacuation process. So we're now in the process of looking at how do we maximize the ability to get people out. And also then close off people that are coming in, because one of the real issues that we had were people coming from outside of the area wanting to take photographs.
Oh, geez.
So we had a major influx of people just wanting to come and view the fire, which clogged up the streets even more as we were trying to evacuate several thousand people quickly. So we are looking at, and we will fix that. But we are looking at ways by which that can be controlled much better.
That's amazing. I you know, as a lay person, you know, just an observer, you don't think about that part. I mean, I know my wife went into the area just to help friends evacuate. But who would have even thought about the idea of people going in just the rubberneckers?
Yeah, there were a lot.
that's just fascinating to me. So quickly, we want to make sure we do get in because we were talking about all the equipment. What is it, this weekend or this weekend? You can go see all the equipment that's going to be on display?
Yeah, on November 18th from 9 to 1 at Fire Station 10, which is Weir Canyon and East Monte Vista, which is behind the Target, kind of behind the Target shopping center along that corridor there. We're going to have Wildland Fire Preparedness Day. And so we'll have our Type 3 equipment out there. We'll have several vendors that can provide you information about how to harden your home if you live in a high fire hazard area like most of East Anaheim is. And we'll also have the ability for kids to come out. There's going to be some face painting. We're going to have a couple of hose lines out. We'll probably have Smokey Bear out.
Nice.
And Sparky, and we'll be doing some barbecuing as well. So just be a good family day. So we encourage everybody to come out and learn a little bit, meet your firefighters.
Say thank you
and ask questions because that's what we're there for.
Any goats?
We're gonna have a few goats. Actually, Johnny the Goat Guy's bringing up a small herd of about 40.
Oh, a small herd of 40. Nice. That's a lot of fun. I mean, because you watch them and they do a great job, but it's fun as well.
Yeah, they're very cute. They're very much of a crowd pleaser, but they do an excellent job of vegetation management.
Do they take too much vegetation away, or do they get it to a level that's just right?
They'll get it to a level that's just, I mean, they will eat all the way down to the dirt if you let them. But that's what these folks do. They actually have a herder with them and a dog, and they will move them around before they get to that point because you can take it down too much.
So what is our risk now, being that we've had these two major events, we've had thousands, I guess between the two, it's probably close to 10,000 acres or over 10,000 acres burnt. Are we at risk now if we have another rain season?
Yeah, we're actually working on the rehabilitation of the burned out areas right now and how to minimize that if we do have a significant rainfall, because that's unfortunately the aftermath of all these fires, whether it's here or across the state, is to get mudslides because there's not a lot of vegetation. So, you know, the best thing we can hope for, and we're looking at ways to minimize that, but the best thing we could hope for is to get some very light rain over the course of the next month so it brings back some of that grass vegetation quickly. Because that will help hold the soil, but they're working on that right now, starting to do some replanting and using some barriers to minimize the slide.
I was wondering if they use like some of the same planes and resources to drop seed or something like that. It's a lot of area.
Actually, one of the interesting things is in a lot of the retardants, there's actually seed that is it's actually in the retardant. So
wow, okay, so that, again, learning more from the chief. Right, so there's seed in that retardant because you just thought that was a mess.
Yeah,
right, because you look at that stuff and I've known some folks that have had it on their house. They're very thankful that it's on their house during the event, and afterward it's a challenge to get it off.
It is very tough to get it off, and it gets really a little bit of moisture, gets a little bit of slime to it. And so I think one of the things, I flew the fire after Canyon 2, I think on Friday morning, and one of the, it's kind of an interesting thing to see is there are people that had the 241 closed, and I didn't understand why they hadn't opened it back up because the fire was out. They were out there power washing the retardant off the 241 because once it gets a little bit of moisture on it from overnight, it's just really slick.
That's what I heard, is that it was, that poses a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
There. End up starting having accidents on top of all of that.
Yeah, so they had to go power wash pretty good areas in about four places on 241.
Tell us a little bit of the backstory, if you would, on the life of a firefighter, you know, during an event like this. I mean, because I watch, you guys have a great public information officer that gets those of us who share data, a lot of data quickly, very, very responsive. Sergeant Wyatt does a great, great job.
Excellent job.
But tell us about, you know, we watch and we see that there's firefighters out there 24 hours a day, and this went on for, what, 6 days, something like that, that we saw, you know, because obviously the coverage goes away, but that doesn't mean that the event goes away.
Yeah, and it's usually the first 24 to 36 hours is where you may have to work that straight. And so in a lot of cases, that's what our the first responding units on both fires had to do. They actually were deployed immediately, of course, their initial response, and they didn't get off the fire until sometime the next day. And until these other resources then came in to help support them. And then they start a shift rotation, and sometimes that'll be a 12-hour on, 12-hour off shift, and sometimes that'll be 24 hours on, 24 hours off. It just depends, and sometimes they mix and match. And on both these fires, they had crews working different shifts depending upon what they were doing.
Now, the other thing that so you've got some of the firefighters are working, you know, serious amount of hours, and they're in horrible conditions. I mean, there's no fighter that's got a good condition.
No, and this is an extremely, as you know, the smoke challenge on especially the second fire was extreme. And so it's tough duty. And, you know, when you're not getting much sleep, you know, and you're working really, really hard, it's difficult. Trying to get them food in the first several hours of an event like this is sometimes difficult. And I just want to thank the community because we had significant outreach with people wanting to bring food. And in some cases, we were able to accommodate them actually getting food to us where we could take to the firefighters. So much appreciation for that. We really appreciated that support.
You gotta love our first responders. They're out doing some great, great stuff. So, you know, obviously through you, we can say thank you to the men and women that are out there doing all these things. I want to chat with you when we come back, because obviously one of the issues that we come up with all the time is, and now when you hear that the first fire and indirectly the second fire were caused by a flare, right? So it's going to obviously bring up the next subject, which is fireworks.
Yeah.
Right? Because the flare is not much more than, you know, a type of a firework, but it's being used for a beneficial purpose. But when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about fireworks, and then we'll also talk about a couple other events that are coming up. You're listening to Ron Siegel Radio, discussing your real estate current events and the financial markets. We're chatting with Anaheim Fire and Rescue Chief Randy Brugman, getting some insight into the fires and maybe some things that are coming up on what they've learned and what might be on the horizon as well for some fighting some of these fires. So we'll be back in just a few.
Are you living in the home of your dreams or simply where you think you can afford? Are you earning a safe, secure 10%+ return on your investments? Is your credit score over 800? If the answer to any of these questions is no, what are you doing about it? Text ATP to 79564. Complete a 3-minute complimentary survey, and the area trusted professionals of Ron Siegel Radio will reach out to you to develop a success strategy for you. Again, all you need to do is text ATP to 79564.
Most businesses struggle to get the online reviews they need to get a competitive edge over their competition. Rex is a brand new technology that uses text messages to direct happy clients to your online review sites, Zillow, Google, Facebook, and Yelp, and unhappy clients to a private survey so businesses can win more customers. Try Rex today by going to www.meetrex.com.
Are you currently renting a home? Do you like paying someone else's mortgage payment? Why not explore the options to purchase your own home? Can you imagine a 30-year fixed-rate loan below 4.25% APR? This means with $10,500, you can purchase a $295,000 home and have a principal and interest payment of about $1,400 per month. What are you paying in rent? Does your family deserve the opportunity to take advantage of the current market? To learn more about these exciting opportunities, the Siegel Lending Team is standing by to speak with you. Call now, 1-800-306-1990. That's 1-800-306-1990. Or visit SiegelLendingTeam.com. That's SIEGELLendingTeam.com. Or 1-800-306-1990. Rates subject to change without notice. Licensed by NMLS ID 217037 and 145502. Equal housing lender. Not endorsed or sponsored by any government agency.
Do you have a goal of mortgage-free home ownership? What if your home was valued at $500,000? Are you aware that a free and clear home could be costing you $2,500 every month, $30,000 per year? The mortgage planners at the Siegel Lending Team would like to show you how you can own your home, generate tax-free income, and accumulate family wealth. You simply need to call the Ron Siegel Team at 1-800-306-1990. That is 1-800-306-1990. By sending the team a copy of your most recent mortgage statement, the team will send you a no-obligation real estate plan. You be the judge if this is right for your family. Again, all you have to do is send the team a copy of your mortgage statement by email to reap@ronsiegelradio.com or call today, Ron Siegel, 1-800-306-1990. That is 1-800-306-1990.
Rate subject to change and without notice. Licensed by the California DOC and BRENMLS 217037 and 145502 and CalBRE 01869452 and 1-866-775.
You're listening to Ron Siegel's Home and Finance Show with local and national expert Ron Siegel. Now, here's Ron.
Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That's my message. And as your consumer advocate, I will be delivering it every day on Ron Siegel Radio. Or any 800-306-1990. If you've been watching the broadcast or listening to us all morning, we did have some technical problems on the video feed. So we're going to dispense with some of our other segments. I'll tell you that the Mortgage Minute is brought to you by our friends over at Gold Star Mortgage. They are the only ones with the Fast Pass loan approval, but we're not going to get their story in today. And the Word on Wealth segment, that is brought to you by our friends over at creditsanitizer.com. You have a credit report. It is wrong. So go to creditsanitizer.com. Just register there. They'll send you some great information on a regular basis to help you maintain and build your credit score. Don't forget Equifax Security 2017. They'll help you as well in monitoring your credit score. It's free for a year because, well, they lost your data. So that's just the basis of that one. So those are those reports and those sponsors. We are very appreciative of them, but we want to spend our time because we are fortunate enough to have Anaheim Fire and Rescue Chief Randy Brugman with us today. So we want to spend our time with the chief and continue our conversation and talking about the two big fires that we've had. And now we're going to kind of move forward from there. That's the past. We can't change it. I think it was a Hakuna Matata, right? I know you've got some grandkids. You're probably up on Lion King or something? I think that's the movie that was from. So we saw, you know, we always have this debate, especially in the canyon and in high fire zones. You know, the flatlands of Anaheim, they get fireworks out here in the canyon. We don't get them. Some parts of Orange get fireworks. They probably shouldn't in certain other parts. I don't know if they do or don't. But, you know, the two fires, directly or indirectly, were caused by a flare, which is not a whole lot different than a firework. So is it going to bring back more conversation or what do we need to know about fireworks? I mean, even though July 4th, it's hot, not much of rainy season out here in California. The illegal fireworks, can one bottle rocket start that 9,200-acre fire?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and that's what we have seen since fireworks were brought back into the city. The safe and sane, the use of safe and sane actually can't be used in East Anaheim. But in the flatlands of Anaheim, it is legal. But what we see is that's not usually the issue. The issue is all the illegal stuff that comes on top of the use of safe and sane. And so bottle rockets and some of the large aerial displays that we have confiscated over the last couple of years, and some of these are 6 and 8 inch mortars.
Wow.
That people actually, I mean, you can buy some pretty significant, almost commercial grade fireworks, and so we've noticed a real uptick in the last couple of years with the use of illegal airborne fireworks, and it is a problem, and it's one that we're trying to address, but it's very, very difficult. I can tell you to enforce illegal fireworks, because by the time you usually get there, they're usually not there.
Which makes it pretty difficult, and then there's some, you know, if you can get one bottle rocket and start a fire like that, there's
What'd you sell? It's somewhere between 13 and 15 million dollars
mm-hmm.
was our expense. So you look at that and you say, well, an event like Anaheim Hills does with their firework display at $150,000, it's a pretty good trade-off.
Yeah, we would much rather have the professionally shot fireworks shows and have people do that than doing their own airborne shows in their backyard. And even though it's illegal, people still do it.
Sure. So, you know, it's, unfortunately, people look at it and say, until we get caught, you know, and until they make an example, catch somebody and make an example out of them.
Yeah.
It's going to, unfortunately, continue. So when we went to the community event that you did, the recap after the fire, and it was mm-hmm. really short term after the fire, you had shared there that there was a lot learned from the freeway complex fire that was able to be used now. And then you shared earlier that there was something like 100 improvements from this one in the aftermath. What are a couple of the things that you've learned now that we can, you know, maybe in addition to fighting the fires, maybe even prevent them?
Well, good question. One of the things that as I was sitting in the EOC and watching this fire progress and having these maps and knowing where a lot of these fires track, it didn't dawn on me then because I thought about this before, but I think we can actually design a fixed fire protection system in some of our very high fire hazard areas using basically like a pivot irrigation concept where we have large sprinkler heads along some of our ridge lines to actually minimize where if a fire does start and start to run like that, that maybe we could minimize it from running and hold it in check long enough so that we can actually get equipment and staffing up there to actually stop it from getting into our structures.
So for a lay person like me, would I look at that and say it's almost like a water fire break, so to speak?
Correct.
Okay, so you have a big line where it's because you look and you see, you know, when we watch the leaks that we have in the highways or we've seen in downtown Los Angeles or UCLA, they got a massive amount of water into an area that they didn't want it. Can't we just do something like that where we do want it?
Yeah, I think we can design something. So what I've asked Public Works to do is start to investigate how that could be done and where we could do it. Because if we can minimize our risk by 30 or 40%, that's a good thing.
Sure.
And so there are areas we know that are very high hazard. Of course, the 91-241 is one of those areas, but we have a couple of others, the Deer Canyon area and the Oak Canyon area. We know just the way that they're laid out. If a fire starts in there with exposures of the structures around it, that's a high hazard area. So are there some things that we can do there to actually minimize the risk?
The other issue that I found fascinating is there were some the folks who were chatting about the idea, especially the ones that were right up along the ridge, that homeowners associations balked when people were trying to clear brush, or the city would balk because we're battling the issues of flood and slippage with the issues of fire. Is there something that we can be doing there as a community?
Yes, I think we can do a much better job, not only on the city side, but also from especially the individual homeowner and homeowners association of vegetation management. And oftentimes we will go out and cite an association because they've got overgrown vegetation. And we really don't have a mechanism by which we can go back. And if they don't clean it up, that we'll go clean it up and then build them for it. And so that's one of the things that we're looking at to improve our ordinance to be able to do that, not only for associations, but for the homeowner. But the city also has to recognize that we have areas that we're responsible for too. And we need to step up and make sure that we have an effective vegetation management plan that is done every year. And so we're also having that discussion as well.
When we went to the idea during the drought times, we went and changed our processes where we're trying to get rid of a lot of vegetation and go with more of the water friendly. Are those water friendly gardens or whatnot, Are those fire-friendly also?
They're fire-friendly also. So, I mean, the more that we can do that, the better off it is from a fire standpoint, but definitely better off from a water utilization standpoint. So,
and that's what I was wondering, is if we can get, you know, marry those two,
yeah,
right? So we can protect the slippage, which is a big issue. Mm-hmm. And it's always a balance because, you know, so much of the time we're in drought, but when we're not, then we have to deal with slippage and fire.
Correct.
So the balance, what is there any other... That one water system to me sounds like fantastic. I mean, I don't know what the cost of, if it's cost prohibitive, or if it's something that's, you know, should just be done.
Well, probably for what we spent on these two fires, we probably could outfit the entire East End area in our high hazard risk zones with some type of a fire protection system, I would imagine.
So then long term, that really makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, it's a pay me now or pay me later proposition. And the bad thing is when we don't minimize our risk and we just react to it like we typically do, and we do a really good job of reacting
sure.
to it. But unfortunately, in reacting to it, people are going to lose their homes. The threat to life can be extreme. And, you know, there's just a better way to do it.
Well, that's the whole idea. I mean, right now... And I should ask the question. I know there was a couple of firefighters that went to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Was there serious injuries? Are they doing okay?
Yeah, doing good. Actually, the one firefighter from Anaheim actually got a pretty good blast of heat and smoke and spent the night overnight in the hospital, but was released the next day. He was back on duty by the end of the week, and so he's doing fine.
So, you know, obviously that's the best part of the only good part of this fire, right, is that the injuries were minimized.
Yep.
You know, the firefighters did an awesome job. The first responders did an awesome job there. We just have about a minute or so left, but one of the questions that you know, I hear in my household is fire engines that are going different directions, just the Anaheim, even Anaheim fire, right? And you've got a major event like this going on. You see a fire engine that might be by, you know, on the other side of town. How do you determine who's going to go, who's not going to go, even within the city, to maintain the security that the rest of the city needs?
Well, it's preloaded in our computer-aided dispatch system, so closest unit response. So a lot of it is built upon the medical location. So the CAD system actually sees what unit is closer, and that's who is dispatched. So it's all done via, as we get into resource depletion, then we're bringing units up, and then the command officers actually then will position the less resources that we have to cover the city in a different way.
Interesting. It's a whole science there too.
There is.
It's amazing. We appreciate your time, Chief, coming in and sharing
Ron.
With us. And we always appreciate the firefighters and all of our first responders. There's an appreciation. I should mention that one before we go off. Give me a couple extra minutes, guys. That is going to be at the golf course here, Anaheim yeah. Golf Course, on the 21st.
21st. Orrin Abrams reached out and wanted to do a community recognition. So from 11:30 to about 12:15, first responders will be having lunch. And from then until about 1:30, the community can come in and meet their firefighters. And we're going to also invite firefighters from other agencies to come and spend that day with us as well.
Awesome. We appreciate our first responders, and there's a chance for you to come out and say thank you to them also. And be sure to set that first radio preset button to come back here every day to join Ron Siegel Radio, where we only speak about items affecting your house and your bank account. Thanks to all of our sponsors. A big thanks to John, who's engineering us today. And, of course, a special thanks to you for spending a little bit of your day with us. That's all for Ron Siegel Radio. Again, if you have any questions or to meet any of our guests, call me anytime, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. And remember, make a lot of money, help a lot of people, have a lot of fun, have a great day. We'll talk to you next time on Ron Siegel Radio.